From Montana for Montana, it's Voices of Montana. Hi, I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and please contact me here for show suggestions or comments at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Good morning. Gabe Erickson filling in this morning. Fine, blustery pre-winter day with Cody in the studio. How you doing, Cody?
I'm doing great.
You almost didn't make it here today, which would have been a mess for me filling in because I do not know how to do what you do, man. So, but we have a great show lined up for you today. Happy Friday on Voices of Montana. We're going to be talking about some amazing technology progress, movement, initiatives, whatever the word is. It's a really big deal coming to the state. And then we're going to be talking with Congressman Rosendale in the second half. So that's today on Voices of Montana. It was quite the cold morning today. So I hope you're safe in your car, safe in your home, staying warm. And if you're listening to this over a phone or on a podcast, there's a lot of technology involved in those products that I'm learning a lot about photonics this morning. And I'm going to need our guest to kind of talk to me like I'm in eighth grade or something, just to make this accessible to our audience. But, you know, there's a lot of exciting stuff here. And today we're talking with Mary Craigle. She is the Bureau Chief for the Research and Information Services Division, the RIS Division of the Montana Department of Commerce. Mary, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Gabe, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So this news update that we have from you is a really big deal, but I'm reading even in the government, the governor's quote, that Montana's laid an infrastructure priming us for what's coming for quite a long time. And we're one of the highest concentrations in the U.S. for technology companies. Is that true?
We are one of the highest for the specific of photonics and smart sensors. We actually have 41 companies just in the Bozeman area. And the photonics clusters, they originated all the way back in the 1970s. In fact, the first laser that was ever created, which was done in the country of Lithuania, that crystal in that laser was polished at MSU. So, 50 years this thing's been going on, and little by little just grown and grown to the point where the federal government just recognized that, hey, you guys should be a hub of this because you already are. So it's pretty great.
I mean, that's one of those things where you think technology and people just start thinking California and other places. Mm-hmm. So for Montana to have this foundation and kind of, like we talked off air, just kind of in the shadows, you know, we've just been kind of doing the work, which is very Montanan, I think, to just
it's
do the work.
It's completely Montanan.
What is the tech hub? And tell us about the news that came out just this week. This has been a big week for you.
Yeah, so thank you. It has been. And again, it's not a week for Mary. It's a week for just an amazing team. And we can talk about that later. But what does this hub thing mean? Well, the federal government, thankfully through a bipartisan effort led by Senator Tester, but also supported by Senator Daines, as part of the CHIPS Act, they wanted to put some money towards not just semiconductor creating chips, which mainly happens in big metro areas, but they also wanted to spread technological innovation across the U.S. So this past week, they designated 31 different hubs. Some of them are in big metro areas, but a couple of them are in great rural areas like Montana. And so we were designated with the Photonics Hub. The way to think about that, Gabe, I think the best way is one of the hubs, for example, went to Washington State for aerospace. So, you know, decades ago, somebody said, hey, that Boeing, they look like they've got something going on. Let's start focusing our aerospace development there. Let's really make that a hub. This is the same thing that's happened to Montana. As I mentioned, there's 41 companies in Bozeman, but there's also companies across the state that are involved in smart sensing, involved in autonomous systems, think drones, think unmanned vehicles. As you mentioned, we quietly have been doing amazing things led by our university systems, but then also accelerated by the great businesses we have here.
Yeah, so if my understanding is that the Headwaters Tech Consortium has existed for some time now, and through all of your work, and I mean your as in plural, all the people that were involved, that consortium was labeled a hub. Is that how this is working?
Pretty much accurate. So we started last March. When the announcement came out about this program, again, this was a carve out from the CHIPS Act to do these hubs. They asked a bunch of questions, they being the Economic Development Administration. They're part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. They said, well, you know, we don't know why there needs to be one in rural. And at that point, a whole group of us came together and started answering the questions on why this needed to be rural, and we were really successful. And so the EDA, when they actually made the first announcement on how they were going to pick hubs, they said, by gosh, we're going to actually pick one that is rural. Make sure that we have a rural hub. They actually picked, I think, 7 different hubs that are in what you would call rural areas. I mean, the whole state of Montana would be considered rural. Urban being metropolitan, 2 million-ish more people. And so, yeah, but 87 organizations came together all to get to where we are today. I've been in state government a long time. It's one of the coolest projects that I've ever seen because it actually is a partnership between the Montana University System led by Joe Teal and Paul Gladen over at Accelerate and Joe Shaw over at MSU. So across the university system, matched up with those of us at government, so Department of Commerce, Director Osterman, Sarah Swanson, Commissioner of Labor, SWIB, all kinds of government folks. But then also the Montana Chamber came and was our business side of the house, brought in a ton of great industries, Hyundai, Raytheon, Boeing, all kinds of folks. So it's just been a very amazing collaboration that held together since last March. We have kept the band together, and we're doing great things.
Last March as in 2023, or do you mean last March 2022, like last year?
2023 March.
So this, yeah. Bring me back to that moment where this got brought across your desk for the first time. And was this because it's the larger U.S. Department of Commerce? I imagine this was going to hit your desk no matter what. Or was this one of those things like in the nonprofit world, let's say a grant application and some people miss it, some people don't, or was this on everyone's radar?
Yeah, so we actually, within my bureau at the Department of Commerce, we actually have a industry development program. We go after grants all the time. In fact, both of the hydrogen hubs that you heard about recently in the news, those were efforts that my bureau worked on. We were successful in being part of both of those, for example. We look for grant opportunities all the time. So we were aware of this one specifically, but I can tell you that my director, Scott Osterman, came to me and said, we need somebody in the coordinating role. As I mentioned, I've been doing this for a lot of years. So he asked me to help. And so I've kind of been working both with the industry side, but also with the university side. I've been in the private sector, ran my own business for a long time, done a lot of consulting, but I've also was the research person at the Office of the Commissioner of Higher Ed, have worked with our colleges across the state for a long time, ran the 2020 census. So I have a pretty good network of folks on both sides, and I think I was not, I mean, again, this effort is led by the people that are doing this technology in these areas, both in Missoula and Bozeman, but across the state. That's what we sold. That was an easy sell because of them.
Yeah, I'm wondering, let's say this had crossed your desk, I know it didn't work this way, but let's say it was one of those things that just a blink and it was gone and you guys had other work and it missed. Yeah. Tell us about a world where Montana isn't designated and the world where Montana now is. What is the difference? Like, what is this going to do?
Exactly. That's a great point. So what if we let's just talk about what recognition means. So what recognition means is, as I mentioned, when they were looking at hubs, they said, okay, we need these kinds of technologies. We know these are the technologies that need to occur in America to be advanced quickly so we can ensure economic and national security, but also regain global predominance in some of these areas. The CHIP industry in general, the semiconductor chips, is an area that, you know, we lost predominance in the, to China, to other areas a long time ago. And this is part of trying to regain that for not just the chip technology, semiconductors, but also all these other key technologies that are moving us to the future. So that was the premise of the program. And again, this is about getting industry problems solved. It's not about just our research and development for the sake of research and development. It's actually, we've got a problem. We've got to move our industry forward. And so given that, they put out some criteria on the types of hubs they wanted. They wanted a quantum hub. They wanted bioscience hubs. They wanted areas that deal with energy. But they also wanted quantum photonics, sensors, artificial intelligence. And that's the area where Montana really does have, as you mentioned earlier, you are actually a global leader, quietly, in that field. And so when they looked around, they said, okay, let's, who's got something going on? Who's got a great proposal? We pulled together just an amazing group of 87 organizations that all contributed to put forth a great proposal. And they said, yep, these are the guys that have a hub going on. This is the place that we should look for investment in future dollars, in growing this hub and expanding this hub so that we can, again, be that national and economic security leader for the nation.
Yeah, so we're getting actually some feedback from a couple of listeners here, a couple of questions. What types of jobs is it going to create for Montanans? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be building microchips here?
Great question. So here's where we are. So we're in phase one, which means you're a hub. So phase two is we're going to ask for the big money. It's going to start next February. We'll put in an ask for about $50 million, which is follow-on funding, meaning that it's 1 year, but there's years to come. But even if we are not successful in getting that grant, given that we've built this hub and this coalition of organizations, we are moving forward on that exact development. There's money to be had. Lots of places, our industry partners are coming to the table, wanting to invest in this hub, wanting to move it forward. So answering the question of what kind of jobs, there'll be everything from researchers looking into the technology, to folks helping on the manufacturing, expanding the technology here in Montana, as well as all those support industries. And things like field testing. So as we explore problems that industry needs solved, we can go out, have folks out in the field that can field test it, see how that technology works, see what needs to be improved, et cetera. So there is all kinds of opportunities for jobs.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. I'm curious, too, if what your thoughts are and how it'll affect our education system. We talked about the colleges here that are on board in this consortium.
You bet.
Do you think this is going to make us like a prime target for people who want those jobs? They're going to get their education here? Is that how that's going to work?
Absolutely. That's, part of what we need to have happen. And actually, again, that's an area that our Montana University system has quietly been excelling at for quite a while. The photonics sector over at MSU Bozeman, they have the Innovation Technology Hub, they have military technology, but they've also been adding their degrees, adding their ideas, and for what kind of training they could do in that area. But Missoula has done the same. They've been more focused on disaster recovery, so natural resource disaster recovery, working with photonics on how do you better get, the right kind of help on wildfire situations, for example, making sure that the people are safe, making sure that the fire is caught early, making sure that it's addressed in the best way possible. These are all things that the photonics and sensors industry can really help with. So once upon a time back in North Carolina, they developed something called the Research Triangle, where they started, really focusing on R&D but more R&D for the focus of, what can we do that's practical? What can we create that helps everyday folks? And that's the same thing that we're doing here.
Oh, that's amazing. So we're going to go to break, Mary. And when we come back, I want to hear more about phase two of this technology hub for Montana. That's coming up next on Voices of Montana.
We're excited to announce that Northwest Farm Credit Services is now AgWest Farm Credit. I'm Nate Riggers, farmer and board chair of AgWest, here to let you know the agricultural financing services we provide, our locations, and the staff you've come to know will remain the same. So our commitment to our customer members is as strong as ever. Grounded by tradition, inspired by possibility. Call or visit agwestfc.com to learn more. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Gabe Erickson here, filling in for Tom Schultz on Voices of Montana. Cody's like, remind him your name, because I'm not Tom Schultz, that's why. But we have Mary Craigle with the RIS division of the Montana Department of Commerce with us today. She's the Bureau Chief. Mary, thank you again for all the amazing information you've shared so far.
Thanks, Gabe.
And we were talking, about during the break, just about some of the real world applications of this technology. And you were telling kind of, to me, technology that exists, but it was kind of amazing to listen to. Would you tell that story again? Impacting the agriculture.
So sometimes when we talk about things like national and economic security, people are like, ooh, what is that? So let's just talk about a basic thing, which is food. So a major part of economic and national security is our food supply. And photonics is an area that, you know, nobody goes out and buys a laser. They put the lasers and the sensors into everyday equipment. Primarily everybody that has a cell phone, it's got sensors and it's got, doesn't have lasers, but it has all kinds of photonics, light-related technology that's part of that cell phone. So I was out in Manhattan at a potato farm didn't know that Montana's number one in seedling potatoes. So I've learned that this past few weeks. Watching an irrigator, so this is the sprayer or the water, that run around the field at 12 miles an hour, which, let me tell you, that's quick. That thing's moving right along, and it's completely automated. It's spraying just the right amount of water that the plants need. It's not spraying dirt. It's just spraying the plants. So it's not wasting water. It's moving at a very efficient speed, being very efficient, so that the owner of that farm was able to, you know, really maximize the production, minimize the use of herbicides, really create better quality food with fewer resources. And in this case, this is a co-op that was formed to purchase this irrigator. They're pretty spendy, and so part of what the hub is about is taking what that irrigator is doing and even accelerating it faster, making it more efficient, but also how do we make it more affordable? How do we bring that cost back? I'm the old school. I remember buying calculators that were, you know, the handheld big ones that were like, you know, $500.
The TI instant.
Get them for, you know, 10. That's the kind of work that this hub is all about.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are some of the impacts on everyday Montanans and a lot of like consumers? You just notice over time prices go down. You don't understand what all went into that, perhaps, right? So exactly. Interesting. Are there any other applications outside of agriculture, you know, that we can think of?
Yeah. So we actually created what we're calling test beds. So part of that 87 organizations is around those test beds that we want to focus on. Those include autonomous vehicles. So think drones, think your, you know, Teslas, but also all kinds of autonomous vehicles that can help with firefighting. Mentioned national defense, but infrastructure security, looking at our grid, our power grids, wildfire response, critical resource mineral management. Montana has the only palladium mine. How do we better manage? I was down at Sibanye Stillwater just the other day, walking through the plant, thinking about how this technology can improve the operations there. They do a fantastic job keeping the, you know, they're way below all the standards for safety and air quality, pollution, all those things. But even how can we improve their operations? Precision ag, we've talked about. And then industrial equipment and processes. I was in North Dakota recently, watched a bobcat run around the field doing construction work, moving stuff with nobody on it. Same thing here with RDO equipment. We've watched, you know, as I mentioned, the irrigator, but other kinds of manufacturing processes that can be made more efficient, sped up. And again, not to replace jobs, just to make folks more productive, make it safer, make the product better, and ultimately drive those costs down.
Sure. I mean, without technology, I'd just be speaking at a wall right now. So I get it.
Yeah. I'd be sitting in your office. We'd be on some kind of old time speaker.
Exactly. So phase two, I read that over the next decade, this could mean up to $500 million for this particular hub or all the hubs, or, you know, either way, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, just this hub. And that's just the federal side. So again, as I mentioned earlier, we have great, fantastic industry partners, other partners that are not specific to this EDA grant, that we can find other grant dollars, other ways to accelerate this, that we can bring in. So, yeah, $500 to $750 million. But again, the key thing, the money's, you know, important, and again, it's our tax dollars, so we want to bring those back to Montana as much as we can. But the key thing is the recognition that, hey, Montana, you are the head of the photonics. You know, there were 198 applications for designations, 31 were given, and we are the photonics hub. So that's a huge deal.
I know we've been working, you know, quietly, like we said, and just doing great work, but how do we get that word out there? Is there a marketing campaign that comes with this, you know, to spread the word about Montana or across the country, or what happens next in that regard?
Yeah, so that's a really great question, Gabe. So what we're doing is that the organization is led by a key group of folks. Paul Gladen, Accelerate, is one of those key people that's helping coordinate all of it over at the University of Montana, Joe Shaw, Joe Teal, me, Matt Olsentato here at the Chamber, some our industry folks. So that consortium is coming together and really sitting down and saying, okay, how do we manage ourselves? How do we move this forward? And you just hit exactly. So there's pieces, components. A big component is workforce. We got to figure out the workforce. So what programs do we need in place? How can we leverage my great friend Sarah Swanson over at the Commissioner of Labor? How can we better labor the workforce to get folks involved? How can the university system get students to know about it? And then what businesses can we scale up? I'm actually attending a scaling summit next week to talk about the hub and what ways that businesses can be involved, scale up. So we're still early in this. Again, the phase two, asking for the big bucks, that application is due February 29th of 2024. So, but we're all over it, and I'm very confident that phase two will just be as successful as we were in phase one.
That's amazing. Mary, the Bureau Chief of the RIS Division at the Montana Department of Commerce, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate all the information, and best of luck in February.
Thanks, Gabe. Great to be on.
Absolutely.
We'll keep in touch.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast, and join us daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana, a live issue-oriented talk show heard daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on local stations all across Montana.